And we're live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 54 of Fans of Power. I am Joe Amato, and I'm here with my partner in crime, Tyler T-Rex Baker. What's up, T-Rex?
I'm ready to dig into our hour of power here.
Yep, that's, those were the old days, boy. Well, the good old days of power hour, but... Well, before
I guess
we
of course,
get to that,
I'm also thinking of the In Living Color skit with Jim Carrey, Damon Wayans doing the scamming
reverends or something.
But they're playing the reverends that are what's the term evangelist? Yeah,
okay.
The event they're scamming people out of money. So I think the Power Hour of He-Man and She-Ra, but then I also think of the con artist evangelist that Jim Carrey and Damon Wayans played.
And the best part of that one skit real quick was when he said something about being excited and he's like, oh, if all I had was a clock in my pants, it'd be high noon right now. He said, you need to keep that time. That was great. But before we get into the actual discussion topics and stuff, just to bring up a couple little things about some news. Super 7 this Wednesday, so it'll be November 16th, I believe, they'll finally unveil the stuff about the Ultimate Edition figures, the Curse of the Three Terror figures. I'm sure what that's going to involve will be the prices and stuff. So I don't know if there'll be any other details, any other surprises, but for everybody out there that's, you know, waiting for the news, you know, you can go to Super7HQ.com, I believe, or Super7Store.com. And they have the info, and you can scroll at the bottom, and you can sign up for their newsletter. And with their newsletter, they'll give you all the updates all the time, so you can, you know, keep up to date with everything that's going on.
Well said, Amato.
Thank you. And now, one other thing. Now, this is one thing I want to get into, another kind of new thing. And I know there's people that aren't real big fans of these, but I believe it's Funko who puts out something called Dorbs Z. I believe it's Funko. I might be wrong. I apologize if I'm wrong. But they announced that Dorbs will be doing Masters of the Universe Dorbs. And they'll have He-Man, Merman, Skeletor, I think Faker. I know there's probably one I'm missing, but what I'm getting to is a lot of the fans that were seeing them said, well, these look horrible. Why would they waste money on these things, you know, for Masters of the Universe? This could go towards classics figures. This could go to more of the vintage stuff. Well, remember, this has nothing to do with anything that Super 7's putting out. This is completely different. This has nothing to do. It's a whole separate thing. It's another company. And what's good is now, if they didn't know, see, some fans actually thought that these Dorbs were just for Masters and that's it. But it's not just Masters. I mean, Dorbs, they put out Marvel, DC, horror characters, everything. So it's not like it's a waste. And, you know, heck, if you don't like them, sure, more power to you. You don't have to buy them. But what's good is, along with, like, the loyal subjects and those little figures, this is more stuff that's out there for Masters fans. So maybe there's those fans that haven't seen Masters in a while, don't know about the, you know, classics figures. And it's something that, hey, it'll catch your eye and is cool. So I just want to give you an example. Now, if they said that Masters of the Universe can't look cute, just look at this little sucker. Hold on a second. Let me get him over here if I can get him. Look at that little Jason. Now, come on. Now, if Jason could be adorable or Dorbs, Jesus, they could do it to Masters. So that's calling you out, Paul Rudman. You said you don't like the Dorbs. Look at that little sucker. Now, Tyler, I guess you don't have to comment on Jason, which you should, but quick thought on the Dorbs.
I'm indifferent. I mean, it's not something I'll be picking up, but I do always feel the need to grab my sword, shield, and battle axe to fight back people who want to sit there and believe that the money that's been spent on creating these particular characters in this particular form or funds that could be going to new action figures. I'm like, this is done by an outside company that's not Mattel. So people want to piss and moan and kick puppies and rough up the bartender over something that's like that has nothing to do with what you're complaining about. You need to understand that this is not Mattel. Like, oh, we've got all this extra money. Just throw it over here and just spend it on whatever. Just accept classics figures while they sit there and rub their hands maniacally like Daffy Duck would if he was getting ready to one-up Bob Bunny or something like that.
There you go.
You know, it's like, no, people. So, no, they're fine. I mean, what property? The collector's market is flooded with various, you know, small things to big things of Game of Thrones, DC and Marvel heroes, Ghostbusters, and, you know, Big Bang Theory, and various other TV shows and movies. I'm like, you know, would you rather see no He-Man merchandise at all? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I think people are so quick to forget how long a span it was with no He-Man stuff from the 90s into 2002 when there was nothing. Right. And even after MYP was canceled, nothing until we got Classics, and here people are, you know, I'm so sick of the complaining. So if you hadn't mentioned that, I probably wouldn't have known about that, but I definitely feel the need to, you know, the gloves are off, you know, kind of mindset.
No, because, I mean, now that's the thing. I mean, I respect and more power if they don't want them, but I was just trying to clarify, just like you said, that it's not something brand new just for Masters of the Universe. This is, like I said, it's to get the word out more. I mean, well, again, to promote them, because since there's nothing at the stores at all, except, well, loyal subjects and a thing here and there, it's cool to at least see it back in the public eye one way or another. And just to, like, you know, like, get that spark again, get people start talking. So, you know, maybe that person who hasn't seen He-Man in years, that could get them excited. Then heck, maybe they will want to say, hey, what kind of new Steve, you know, He-Man stuff's going on? Go type in, you know, on any website. So, and you figure, yes, if they're a He-Man fan, they should know, but some don't. And like I said, it could just take that fun little thing of getting something for your kid. You know, they might be getting a little dorb for, you know, a Spider-Man one for their son. See He-Man, and then that father right now, bam, he's back, and maybe he wants to find He-Man again.
There's stocking stuffers and stuff like that for upcoming holidays. Plus, you know, it's at this point, people are going to understand, it's going to be a long time before there's an actual He-Man toilet at retail, if at all. Right. So these things, most of these things, like the pot figures where they have the elongated face and the big pupils and stuff like that, those are relatively inexpensive. And that's the kind of stuff we're going to be seeing in Barnes & Noble and Toys R Us and Walmarts and Targets. We're not going to be seeing 6-inch figures with, you know, 15 points of articulation with a cool insert of an art card drawn by Alex Ross or something like that. It's just not going to happen right now until, you know, I guess Mattel wants to push it with Super 7, or they say, let Super 7 make something new. We don't know.
Right. So I guess it's a wait and see. Like you said, and with the Dorbs, I mean, $7.99, you can't beat that. That's a really good price.
It's another reason why, like, that stuff's being sold and not new action figures, because they're inexpensive to make. They don't require a whole lot of articulation. It's just something cute or cool to put on your DVD shelves or next to your computer or, you know, at your desk at work or something like that.
Right. So that's – okay, there you go. That's out of the way. So that's all the new news. Besides, one more thing. Also – this Wednesday, November 16th, make sure you go to your comic book store and get issue 2 of the He-Man Thundercats crossover comic. And don't you shake your head, Tyler. It's going to be good. Like I said, it'll get better. It had its issues in, you know, first one, but I have faith. I know you don't, but you're going to have some faith, aren't you? A little bit, Chrome?
Oh, gosh, man. Your enthusiasm is nauseating. I swear, when I walk in to the comic book store that I'll be getting mine at, if the owner tries to push another variant cover on me, I said, nope, I'm not doing it.
Nope,
it will be the first time I have rejected something He-Man related, because I'm not spending double the amount, on a, you know, unless this has done a complete 180, which is a better chance of Mattel putting out a brand new action figure line, starting with the Powers of Grayskull, then this comic, this storyline actually turning around and being a blockbuster of a crossover. So,
I think you're going to get the variant cover. You have to. You got to get the variant covers.
I'm not the variant cover. I don't care who drew it, unless Axel drew it, or Larry Houston, or Earl McCarthy, or, you know, Mark Texera, or Bruce Timm, or whoever. I'm not doing it.
It's like, not going to do it. Not going to do it. You don't know what's strange is now. You know, I try to avoid the art and stuff that when they show the previews of it, because it's just like a movie. I don't want to know what's going on, you know. So I know that, you know, they probably have already showed covers for issues 2, maybe even 3, and some of the other stuff in places. But I always try to avoid it. I try to click away so I can forget it. Maybe I've seen it, but I don't want to remember it.
Well, I think I've seen it. It's not that memorable. So it's don't act like you're going to be super surprised.
Will it have a He-Man one and a Thundercat one like issue 1? Will they do that again?
No, well, issue one was the Heroes and Villains. Yeah, Heroes on one cover. And
oh, I mean, that's what I meant. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think there's a variant cover. There might be, but after getting the first issue, you know, I've just kind of disregarded any news. I just double checked to see when the second issue was coming out, so I don't stiff the comic book store on not picking it up. Because okay. I signed up to get it every issue, but I will not get the variant unless it was drawn by some. Not to knock the artist, I just feel like, you know, I'm lumping it all together, the artwork and the story. I just feel like I don't want to sink any extra money into something that I'm not fully behind. Well, so if we had not already locked ourselves into reviewing every single issue, I would not be doing this.
Yeah. Oh well, I think, like I said, I think it's going to be even better in issue two. I think you'll hopefully be into that. I'm hoping, because you know me, I always try to be the eternal optimist, and I'm going to have faith and hope for you that it's good, because and I know you aren't a super fan of issue one.
That's being polite.
There you go. Well, I guess.
Well, you do realize there were loads of people who, it's like it kind of spread like wildfire. People had the same complaints you and I did.
Well, it's.
So it's universal. It's definitely mixed emotions. I think people who praise it to death don't really either care about getting so many things screwed up, goofed up, however you want to look at it, or just don't know enough about each property to sit there and say, wasn't a big deal to me. I wasn't even aware that was a fact.
No, I mean, I guess that's true. Sometimes either some people maybe don't know all the facts, or it's possible they just don't care. Like, they're figuring, just like, you know, how we had it back then, there was a lot of different, you know, interpretations of the story.
Well, it is a big deal, because if Marvel screws up something going on in Spider-Man, or they screw up something with Batman, which, from what I hear from comic book fans, and you know, it just sounds like they're always messing something up at some point or another. So, and people get outraged because they're changing the template of the character that has been so successful for decades and decades. And I'm like, no, it's no exception here. Just because He-Man is not the flagship character that Batman and Superman is, doesn't mean it doesn't deserve the same treatment. So I feel like, you know, people have got every right to be pissed off if these characters are portrayed the way it should be, not just because, well, we got it. Just draw them in there and we'll write some lazy little story here, and I'll be known as the guy who successfully crossed over Thundercats and He-Man after all these years.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, no, I mean, I agree with that. I know what you're saying, because I know that they tried to say that this story was, you know, its own standalone story, blah, 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 whatever they say. But you got to know that, obviously, if fans have waited over 30 years to see their dream crossover of He-Man and Thundercats, what do you think they're expecting? I mean, obviously they're expecting that it's going to be somewhat similar to what they know. Now, sure, could there be a new story, an adventure or something? Yes. But changing established elements and canons that we so love and obviously are expecting, when you change some things drastically, then that will upset fans. And you're right. No matter what they did, they're always going to upset somebody. But like I said,
something like that should have been just as simple. Like the a really good martial arts movie that doesn't have has a very basic story, but the fights sell the movie. You know, it's a story that's very simplistic. It doesn't require a whole lot of in-depth discussion and exposition here. Just something where He-Man is, you know, crossed over to Third Earth, by accident. Ends up there and is seen as an enemy by the Thundercats until they realize, hey, this guy's on our side, and Skeletor follows him, or vice versa. Something so simple, because all we want to see are the heroes clash, the villains clash, and then the inevitable team up. And that is it. Mm-hmm. I certainly don't want it. I don't want a story that's, you know, Matrix inducing, where you throw in all these, you know, things and all over the place. You got to look for this, and then throw in all this crazy, you know, Morpheus exposition kind of stuff. Like, what are they talking about?
We're going to get, I'm telling you, the moment I'm hoping happens, it's got to happen one way or another, is when Lionel.
My attorney exists. I thought it was only a legend. Oh, dear God. This sucks.
All right. No, calm down, Tyler. Calm down, T-Rex. Don't go crazy. Just relax a second. This is what we're going to have. And one of these issues we're going to have when Lionel takes his sword and he, you know, does thunder, thunder, Thundercats ho. I know that he's not a Thundercat, but man, it'd be so cool if somehow Battlecat sees that signal or something and somehow it like energizes, intensifies, or does something. That's just a dork Joe moment that Tyler's just gonna. All right, I think, Tyler, we're gonna have to move on to another subject because you might.
But if that ever were to ever, it'd be far too late for it to be a redeeming quality. I'm sure they decided that since Mumra and Skeletor both have blue skin, that somehow they're distant relatives of each other, and
Hey.
he's a skeleton and he's a mummy, so there's a link plus blue skin, and everybody who has blue skin is all related to each other. They're
Oh, Tyler,
brothers,
don't give him ideas.
former.
Don't do it. You're going to give him ideas. Don't do that. So we better move past it. So,
Storm their castle and just, go all snake eyes on them.
there you go. Well, there's all the news and what's coming this Wednesday. So everybody get ready for that. Now, so that's the new stuff. But we're going to talk about some other new stuff, but not new new, old new. We're going to talk about the first episode of New Adventures of He-Man, and also the first mini comic of New Adventures of He-Man, to a little comparison. We had people asking about that to do a little comparison. So, T-Rex, since I rambled so much, which one did you want to start off with? And you can flow with it, and we'll just start dissecting.
Oh boy, where to start on this one? Probably the mini comic. I guess since the toys came first initially. At least in my experience, I got the toys first before I saw the cartoon.
Okay.
So the first mini comic was the one that I got. That was my first introduction to the series and everything like that. And I think by that point still I couldn't read it because I was 5. At the time, I was in kindergarten when I got the He-Man Skeletor 2-pack.
Okay. I was reading when I was two, but go ahead.
Yeah, of course you were. Yeah, with the hockey mask and everything. Little Joe Amato's sitting around in daycare, he's reading, The Tale of Two Cities, or Grapes of Wrath,
See, now you know.
yeah, and knowing it's half the battle.
D.I.
So,
me.
I enjoyed the first mini comic. I as an, looking back at the story as an adult though, I think it's a fun mini comic that definitely coincides with the cartoon, but a lot of differences simply because the mini comic couldn't incorporate as many characters, doesn't have as much time to throw in a whole lot of extra exposition as to like what we're going this way simply because of this. The mini comic, they're just told that, hey, we're under attack by the mutants. We need to go find He-Man. Legend says that he can help us.
Right.
That's really about it. There's no Master Sabrian. There's no Mara. There's no Kaz or Drissy. Well, she's hot. Or anything about Primus. None of that stuff. It's just these guys have heard of He-Man and think he can be the ultimate savior. And which is similar to the cartoon. And then they, travel to Eternia, and of course Skeletor is at Castle Grayskull when all this is getting ready to go down, and the Sorceress will contact Adam in his traditional Filmation style original He-Man or Prince Adam look, which was cool to see that.
Right.
And but also, and I believe Earl McCarthy drew this mini comic, I believe, so he definitely was familiar with a lot of this stuff. But obviously he's been told to draw certain things, like giving He-Man the new power sword that the toy line is going to be featuring, things like that. But I think it was a great solid start from a kid's perspective when you're playing with the toys to kind of tell you what you're supposed to do with the action figure story-wise, if you're wanting to kind of follow along with it. It's pretty simple. It's not a real long mini comic, but
Yeah, because
it is
doesn't it
cool to
go
see.
right into it goes right into the next comic, right? Like obviously that's how it ends. Like if you were to get another comic.
And Skeletor, he's been, hit hard by the blast from the power sword transforming He-Man, Adam into He-Man, which was cool to actually see. Skeletor's like, oh, I forget what's he say here.
Does
He's
he
all
say you? Yeah, exactly.
yeah, which is just like, it's like one of those one time things that you feel like this is cool. It's just like Skeletor is like realizing that Skeletor is like, oh my gosh, it's been Prince Adam.
All along.
It's just cool, like almost like it could pass for like a Marvel what if story.
Right.
What if Skeletor knew who He-Man really was, but this is the way he found out, like He-Man throwing down with him, like, this is it, I don't care.
Exactly.
It's a cool epic moment there, and of course he suffers the I guess what appears to be massive burns to his body from the explosion from the power sword, which will cause him to get his new look.
Right.
That carries on throughout the little four-part miniseries. But, you know, we're introduced to kind of the basics of the – we're not introduced to Slushhead and Flog, which were the other two main figures, kind of like the original six figures. But we get Flipshot and Hydron. You get the Sorceress with a new look, Grayskull. It's all the – I mean, Sorceress has her original look. I forgot. But then she gets her new look for the show.
Right.
I mean, for the – this series, just like the new cartoon. So
because in this issue, though, you didn't get any of the new villains, though. We didn't see any of the villains in this first issue, correct? It was just...
No. Skeletor was the only villain. And frankly, I don't know how you would have squeezed in and Flog, Slushhead, or anybody else for that matter. It just didn't call for it. Hydron and Flipshot is all you need to sit and say, we need He-Man to come with us to the future, and that's it.
Right. And that's what was quite different. I mean... You know, with this mini comic, it started right off where Flipshot and Hydron, they're in space, and they're sending out a distress signal throughout the universe trying to find, you know, the legendary He-Man. And Skeletor intercepts that message, and he poses acting like he's He-Man. And he says, you have to transfer the power of Kessel Grayskull to your ship, because I think he said somebody was trying to get it, or however he tried to say it. So when that happened, that's when I think the Sorceress said, you know, something bad is you're going to have to turn into He-Man, whatever. And Adam says, by the power of Grayskull, I have the power, I am He-Man. But he didn't transform, because the power is not in Grayskull no more. Now it's in the ship. So I think how whatever happened then when they were transferring the power and they came to Eternia, then Skeletor is there. He's getting ready to go through a portal to get onto the ship. And I think Adam, that's when Adam jumps in with them into the portal. And that's when they're fighting over it. And, you know, Adam's basically telling Flipshot and Hydron, this guy's the bad guy or whatever. And throughout this battle then, that's when Adam reaches for the sword, like this is where the power is or something. That's when he, you know, gets ready to transform. And that's, like you said, that cool moment where Skeletor said, you, like, you know, I did like it. I was like, it's you all along. And when he transformed to He-Man, yes, yeah, Skeletor was around and got zapped by all that energy. Boom, it burned him. He'd gotten an escape pod, and that's how that issue ended. But that's why you know, like I said, I never read this as a kid because I told you I didn't buy the figures as a kid. I had no idea about the cartoon as a kid because, again, it wasn't on TV where I lived, at least for whatever reason, I never seen it.
I don't think it was either where I lived. I never saw advertisements for it. I never saw it once on TV.
Well, okay. So see, I guess maybe some areas you just didn't get this. But this mini comic was still fun because, like you said, you're seeing them as how we know them, then yes, they transform into this different look, He-Man and Skeletor eventually too. But now we'll go to like the series, the cartoon series of New Adventures. Now, when I first seen that, I mean, that was like I told you, it took me a while. It took multiple tries till I could stomach it because I was so ingrained with the Filmation design and look and mini comics of how we know them that it starts off with they're already in this new look. You know, I felt like if that cartoon could have possibly had them look how we knew, which I know it wasn't Filmation, it's a different company, but still somewhat even drew it similar, maybe I could have stomached it a little more of the transformation because already, you know, when it starts off, you're looking at almost like it looks like Shepherd Prince Adam. You know, he looks like he's a shepherd or a sharecropper or something.
Like
he
just character of the Hanna-Barbera Bible stories.
Yeah, and that's what it feels like. The music, the look, it actually felt like, you know, a Bible type of cartoon. And the music and atmosphere, it just was kind of, it was different because it wasn't impactful.
Doesn't have Mickey Levy's music to it, which his music was so impressionable. You know, it's you created a lot of emotion and momentum. And the show certainly, it has some decent music. It gets the job done, but it's not as memorable as Shooky's was.
No, and it's, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's fine, but it just didn't have that power and that impact that we were used to, you know, especially certain sound effects or just that moment of transformation, whatever. But so like I said, you start off with that different look of Adam. Oh, I'm sorry, but before that, this one, how the cartoon started off, though, was Primus. It started off, I think it was on Primus, where I think you've seen Drissy and Kaz and all that, and the mutants are planning to attack, but there's a force field that covers their planet, protects them. And I think the mutants are finally gonna break through that force field, if I'm not mistaken. I'm just trying to.
Yeah, that, well, their plan is that they felt that this current attack will successfully put a crack in the shield, but it doesn't. But they Primus realizes that, you know, we can't take another attack, otherwise our shield will fail. So we need help.
Yeah, so that's when then Master Sebrian and I couldn't remember the scientists or who all worked together to try to create the portal to bring the past and the way of the magic and all that stuff and the power to now the future, and that's when they will have to try to find He-Man. So, and also another kind of cool thing that was different, I think it was Mara and Flipshot or Mara and Hydron. I think that they were gonna have a, I don't know if it ever went anywhere in the cartoon, but they were supposed to have a relationship. They were going to go on a date. Did they ever like expand upon that in the cartoon that they like were a couple or ever, you know, like try to work together? Or I don't know. I was just curious.
I want to say right off the top of my head, I certainly do not have this cartoon series memorized. I don't. The characters I have a pretty good knowledge of, but I want to say I think it's hinted at, but I don't think they pushed it a whole lot more than just kind of filling the story or giving a little depth to these characters, as if like these two have got something for each other, and Hydron's, you know, like, oh man. Now I got to go hang out with Flipshot instead of going out with Mara. But you know, I mean, it's like Mara doesn't look like much of a catch until he gets her makeover with the long hairdo and the staff. Like there, she looks pretty good. But starting out, I'm like, Hydron, I think you can do much better, man. She's not. She's, you know,
Isn't it weird?
Driss is. You ought to be trying to, you know, take out on a Saturday night.
So yeah, so it's definitely it was yeah, you're right, her look changed, but that was just a weird element that I usually you don't.
It just, I felt like, oh, you know, I thought it was fine. It's just like, hey, we're being introduced to one of He-Man's new friends. And it's like, hey, he's hard up for Mara. I'm like, it's just a little character depth to the
Yeah, because
character.
you've
That,
never
that's all.
seen. Yeah, because you never seen that in cartoon anything about dates. So I found it, you know, just different. But so, like you said, they have to create the portal, then go to the past, and then find, you know, He-Man and all that. And you see Adam. Obviously, like I said, Adam doesn't look like anybody we've ever seen. Now, King Randor and Queen Marlena. What's cool about that is they're in a different color design. But I at least felt like that was the one thing I seen that, hey. They look kind of like King Randor and Queen Marlena. You know, I felt somewhat comfortable with them because of their look. Now, Skeletor, they had Snake Mountain, which they tried to keep a similar style of design, but color was different. And his cronies, if you will, looked like, you know, goatmen. I thought one was like Andros. I can't remember if that's his
Andros,
name.
she had the leader of the goat man, yeah.
Okay, so. It was cool to see different characters, but again, Skeletor didn't look like the Skeletor we knew. He had these new sidekicks that it's like, well, where's Beastman? Where's Merman? You know, as you could picture being a kid, you'd be freaked out. I know I would. So that was like a different little feel to it. Well, needless to say, whenever they get into the future then and they're trying to figure out who's good, who's bad, like just like how the mini comic did. Well, when He-Man transforms, now, I mean, first, when he first transformed, in front, oh, that's it. In front of his parents, he transformed into He-Man for the first time ever. And he did say, by the power of Grayskull, he did say Grayskull. And, you know, they finally got to see, hey, Adam is He-Man. And he has to go protect the future. He'll be back, hopefully. But later on into the series, and when he transforms, he says, by the power of Eternia. Now, again, I'm not the biggest expert on the cartoon. In the cartoon, I don't think. They ever explained why he says by the power of Eternia? I may be wrong, but I'm assuming in the mini comic and the way of promoting Starship Eternia, it's like all the power, remember, was transferred from Grayskull into Starship Eternia. So that's
Yeah.
why probably he calls it power, you know, Eternia. But you didn't get that moment in the cartoon. So was that slight confusion for you? And what did you think about that kind of element?
When I saw it as a kid, I didn't. That was not something that came up as like, hang on a second here, this doesn't sound right. He doesn't say by the power. I went with it.
They
Everything
did
about the
really?
part, I just went with. I went with Skeletor's new look, He-Man's new look. The fact that his Prince Adam looked drastically different, other than the fact that he had blonde hair, and that, you know, I didn't wonder where the rest of the evil warriors are. I mean, I'm sure if we were to ask, you know, Jack Alaska, he'd probably say, Oh, they're probably all there. Beast Man, Clawful, Jitsu, Web Store, Cobra Con, Merman, they're probably all there. But we just happen to see these, you know, guys that probably didn't look like they were much of a threat to the Heroic Warriors. It's like, you know, it's Andros and Goatman, what have you. But I didn't question any of this stuff. The new power sword, I thought it looked cool. It's how I reacted to the live action movie. They told me this was He-Man, this was Skeletor, I went with it. You know, I just didn't question a lot of stuff because I thought the overall looks of everybody at the time I thought looked really good because I had gotten the action figures first.
Oh, did
so,
you?
Like, they look just like, you know, aside from all the details of Skeletor's body with all the mechanical parts on stuff like that, it was pretty much the action figure. I'm like, hey, this is cool. It's the action figure. So I thought it was great. I had no problems with any of it, really. And, you know, I thought it was so exciting to watch the idea that Hydron and Flipshot aren't aware of, like, who's who. Because good could look just like Skeletor, and evil could look like him, and we don't know.
Didn't he and make a comment like that?
Both.
Didn't they make
it was just like it made sense from a storytelling perspective because you're thinking, how are we going to get both of them to go at the same time? And like, it's great because the portals get ready to close. They were told before, we don't have a whole lot of time to do this. Mm-hmm. We got to get out of here. So just grab them both. And as they're duking out, they just shove them into the spaceship and off they go. And
right.
It's a great way of getting Skeletor to the future. And then what's so cool, I used to get so excited as we're approaching this whole, this next, I guess the third act of the show. Was when they land on Primus, Flipshot and Hydron come running out, and you see this explosion in there because Skeletor and He-Man apparently been fighting the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And they just come running out, and He-Man chasing after Skeletor, and they're just kind of like, where are we? And then, boom, here come the mutants. And that's where my 5-year-old self got so excited because, oh man, new villains, man.
Right.
Up on the hill is Flog, Slushhead, Karate, and Hoof, man. And I just thought, who are these guys? Who's that guy? Which was Karate at the time. Right. I just freaked out when I saw him and Hoof. I just thought they looked so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And for He-Man to take all of them out.
Yeah.
All at once, just deflecting their blasts and then throws Slushhead right into Hoof and Karate. It's still a scene to this day. I just love to go back and rewatch because it was so epic to me to watch He-Man take on these all new villains so confidently, like just looks at him like, I'll rip all of them a new one right here on the spot. It was just so cool, man.
And that's what was cool about that episode is, I guess, you know, like I said, first, you know, you have to adjust if you have Filmation stuff on your mind or mini comics or anything ever. But once you start watching it and you give it a chance, it is really a great cartoon. And that first episode just had so much going on when you think about it in actuality, you know, about the threat of these mutants that are going to attack and break through the shield. And then they got to have the scientists, love them or hate them. You got these.
Hate them.
That's
nothing that I don't care. If you've been a long life fan of this show, I mean, even since the show came out, you'd be hard pressed to try and find anything redeemable about the scientists simply because they don't look like scientists. Maybe one or two of them do, but overall they're so obnoxious. One of them talks, you know, I was telling Joe before in a previous conversation, one of them looks like a silk merchant, you know, in like the corners of the streets in Game of Thrones or something like that. One looks like the eunuch from Game of Thrones. And they're so obnoxious because the voice acting is absolutely atrocious. It's like they were trying to really just be something obnoxious for the kids, so they'll laugh and carry on and slap their knees. And
nothing redeeming about it. You think anybody likes the scientists? I guess we'll have to do a little poll.
I'm sure there's somebody. If somebody can sit there and say they like Crackers the Clown, which I really don't think anybody can. That's a bad example. If somebody can sit there and say they like, gosh, man, I don't know, because I embrace pretty much every character in the He-Man mythology. Crackers the Clown is like, no, that doesn't exist to me.
He's the best character ever. He's underrated.
I can't think, because if we're talking about all, I mean, if we're talking like the action figure line, no, I like everybody. I don't know. I just feel like those are probably of He-Man, Filmation, She-Ra Filmation, MYP, New Adventures. I can't think of anybody more obnoxious than the scientists. I really can't.
Well, there you go. So we just introduced people to probably maybe some of the most annoying characters in like
Well, not this certainly does not help sell anybody who's not who has maybe the DVD and just never bothered to sit down and watch it, or
well
somebody who
that
doesn't.
we'll transition right past it. That's why I mentioned them quick, but I want to let people know that there's a lot of things happening. Like I said, you're seeing the stuff at the beginning, you're seeing Mog.
Yeah, and they're not in it very long. They're only in this episode. There is just a brief segment with them to just introduce these four, comic reliefs for the show that
Fighting
are
over who
inevitably going
did
to be.
this, or yeah, and they're arguing over what's being done. Yeah.
It's just pointless. It's supposed to make the kids laugh, and it's not funny. And I wouldn't have laughed as a kid. I definitely in the VHS tape that I had in the which was an amalgam of I think three or four episodes. Molded together the first episode with three other episodes, and they're in it. They're featured very briefly in it, and even as a kid, I'm like, I only saw two of them, but I thought they were really weird and kind of obnoxious, just because of the voices, not because of how they looked. They just like, oh gosh, these voices are so stupid,
Oh, that could do it sometimes.
So even as a kid, I thought, man, this. Because and this is coming from someone who loves Orko, who loves Snarf, and a whole lot of sidekick characters, to be obnoxious from 80s cartoons. No, these scientists, I'm like, this is just. But when you got villains like Karate and Hooves and Slushit and Flog and Lizor and the rest of the gang and the Galactic Guardians, I'm going to repeat that again. These are Galactic Guardians. Just because Marvel has the rights to it right now does not mean that they're. They got to be galactic protectors. They're galactic guardians. You got, Artilla and Tuskador and Sagittar and Spinwit and or Artilla and Vizar and Nocturna. The list goes on and on.
Yeah, it's no, I mean, quite a bit, like you said, of characters throughout the whole series. But yes, that first episode with the scientists to Drizza, or I mean, Jizzy and Mara and Kaz and Master Severian. I mean, there was, like you said, a lot going on. Then the battles that He-Man had with all the mutants. And, even then when Skeletor's then eventually being
Which
introduced.
is a great scene to see how Skeletor decides to align himself with the mutants. He's
And yeah, it makes himself kind of like this, kind of like, oh yes, Flog. Like he's gonna kind of be the guy that listens. Go ahead, Flog. You say everything. Skeletor is sitting back, trying to act like he doesn't want to run the show, but he does.
well, yeah, and that's what makes him so smart in this show is that people think, oh, he's drawn so goofy. Like, wait. He goes in. I mean, at first we forgot to mention this that he finds out that Hydro and Flipshot are here to help save their planet from mutants attack. And of course, Skeletor is intrigued, by this and the fact that they had time travel but no real weapons of defense. Perfect way of taking advantage of the situation here and to, be in an unknown galaxy and sit there and just pretend like, Flog, you called the shots here, knowing full well he will and does throughout the entire show manipulate Flog to do what he wants to do because. Flog likes to be considered the man in charge, but realizes I need Skeletor's help to get this done, and so on and so forth. So really, Skeletor is the puppet master throughout the show, and he does take charge during throughout the series. But Flog is very quick, as you'll see in episodes, like no. I want to say that Skeletor. If he's giving a speech to the troops. He has to be the one to do it, not Skeletor. So just so he can maintain his dignity, that kind of idea, which is, an interesting take on the Villains Alliance.
Yeah, and also with when you were talking about Skeletor, this possibly what some people think is a little possibly over the top, goofy, funny, strange, but it was a new type of character. It almost, I don't know
But
if
no different than what we
Jokerish.
saw in the last half of season 2 from Filmation.
There you go. That's what I mean. And so,
You get Skeletor, swinging on the trapeze in Greatest Showman Eternia,
yeah, so there's silly
and
moments. Like you said, I'm.
that's just one of the many silly moments. So don't act as if like, Filmation was maintaining the dark and demon summoning and black magic Skeletor that was shown in the first
Who
season.
would
No,
have
no, no,
thought
no.
we would have been saying that too? Who would have thought we would be saying, why isn't he more like the more evil Filmation? When if we never even speak of New Adventures, what does almost everybody say? Man, Filmation was just all silly, but then we have to go back to say
It
no.
just shows people who just want to sit there and act like they know it all without even having to go back and watch the cartoons or just remember it is which we hear it all the time. People are posting comments on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and all of those sources of social media and act as if like, no, 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 I have an opinion, and I think it speaks for everybody here. The cartoon is silly because, well, I barely remember it, and I'm sure that it's silly.
But yeah, if they go back to season one, they'll see that it had its real good moments. But
well, that's why I always feel like that this should be a not the one that the fans selected back in 2006 or whatever it was when they got the best of He-Man, because they're not the best episodes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is, and as we've said back and forth, you know, and this episode, I think, is the one that should be watched first. And not just because it's the first episode, but to me, still ranks as one of the best, if not to me, the best episode of the series. Now, there's some good, there's a good mini, a little mini series within the series of Skeletron that means taking over Primus and the He-Man, and everybody's kind of going to hiding. They're kind of like rebels. They're having to fight back and retake Primus.
Because it kept the continuity, unlike Filmation.
There's continuity to this series. Right. You know? Yeah, exactly. Perfect word there for that.
Yeah, and Skeletor definitely went through the most changes in history very quickly. Like, I think within 5 or 6 episodes, he has already went to maybe 3.
Yeah, this Doom Skeletor appears, yeah. So we do get to see the variants of Skeletor throughout the series.
The eyes is what's cool nuts. Look. The eyes is what was weird. Is first he starts off with those goofy eyes, then no eyes, then he gets kind of like red eyes. It's like his eyes even changed beyond his design, like you said. But he had this whole thing with the eyes in his face, and I think even the color of his skull, possibly, or am I wrong? Dude, did that get a slight color change?
Yeah, the skull turns to a much brighter yellow, more like the Filmation, with red eyes and black pupils.
Okay.
Which is, he has some silly moments here and there. Of course, that's for everybody in the entire series. But, you know, you also get to see him do a lot more one-on-one fighting with He-Man. Like, I forgot the name of the episode, but there's an episode where they're fighting over lava and things like that. Like an actual fight mm-hmm. with the Havoc staff against the Power Sword kind of thing. So just one of those things that, I feel like I had the name of the episode on the tip of my tongue and I can't remember it now.
That's all right. You can always come back to it. Because, I mean, we'll do a discussion on another one sometime. But let's leave with one final note, though. Now, let's talk about the last part, in a way, of this first episode.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Yeah, you know where I'm going. I don't like going there because this is what annoys me about the series. Is when He-Man transforms back to Prince Adam. And he's like, oh, what to do now? Yeah.
Moral of the episode.
And then Master Sebrian basically says, you know, I'll say you're my nephew or something, and you're a sharecropper. What does he say? A farmer? A merchant?
Yeah, you're my nephew, a merchant.
Oh, now what?
From Lebetad.
There you go. So what's
Lebetad. I don't know how you pronounce it.
That's the part I couldn't stand. Which, yes, I know they wanted to keep the whole by the power of now Eternian transformation moment for the kids, blah, blah, blah. But what's the sense of a secret identity now? Because, like, in the mini comic, it was cool. When he turned into He-Man, the sorcerer says, Prince Adam is no more. He was now permanently He-Man in the mini comics. Skeletor, no He-Man's Prince Adam, blah, 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 because there's no sense of Adam. Why even have Prince Adam in the New Adventure series and then have a secret identity? Because here's the thing. If Skeletor sees him, don't you think Skeletor is going to say, hey, wait a second, this is the future. You look just like Prince Adam from the past. It's like, what are you talking about? They shouldn't even did it. In my opinion, I felt like that was the dumbest thing to carry on the secret identity of a character that obviously Skeletor is going to know who you are.
I could, you know, certainly it makes sense from what Mattel is trying to do is trying to keep themselves away from the original He-Man toy line, which was, we're wrapping this up. There's no more Prince Adam. There's no more Attorney. There's no more Castle Grayskull. This is the new story. But I think Jack Olesker, I think, wrote like the series Bible. Like he wrote the majority of the episodes too. And I'm sure from his standpoint, he probably wanted to kind of flesh out more of the story as opposed to like, you know, what we're talking about with no more Prince Adam works for the mini comics. Because the stories are definitely very simplistic. They're you know, quite simple and don't have to worry about the whole transformation thing. Whereas I felt like they probably, because I think Jack wanted to kind of wrap up the original series and all that, and probably keeping Prince Adam, even though he looks completely different, is one of those elements to kind of help bring the kids who watch Filmation like, oh, well, it's still He-Man. There's Prince Adam. He's still transformed.
And that's what I figured. That's probably the only
You
way
know,
they
and that's
did
just
it.
all hypothetical, you know. That's
Yeah.
something we would have to ask him, you know.
Right. I just think that would be the only
And it could have been
reason.
one of the things because, you know, Deke, the company that produced this cartoon, the same people that did the real Ghostbusters, Inspector Gadget, the Cops cartoon, they may have, you know, felt like, you know, let's do more with it, or just told Jack, you know, we got this deal with Mattel. We want a new cartoon. We'll feature their new toys. Everything that's coming down the toy line, we'll feature it. You can write whatever you want in the stories. He may have just been given free range on all of us, so, which is why Prince Adam is in it. And you've got that whole debate of like, the Skeletor is an intelligent villain. I mean, he can put two and two together, at least with this scenario.
Yeah, you'd think it's just that's the only thing I could
But
ever
it's a
find
kid
logic.
cartoon.
No, it is.
Just like with anything else,
It is.
it's like if everybody at the Royal Palace can't seem to put it together that He-Man and Prince Adam are the same, then we have no show.
Right.
And it's the same. This the same thing with Superman and all the other comic book heroes. If everybody was as smart as we want them to be, we would have no danger in the stories for family and friends.
Well, this one,
Or
Lisa,
everybody would be.
it was a doozy. I think this one just, like I said, I understand all the others, but this one just, for me, I still could never find the logic. I keep saying it's the future now. And if Skeletor sees you, obviously he knows it's the same person. I think if, let's say that how we seen sharecropper, I'm sorry, the merchant type look of Prince Adam from when he was on Eternia, and then when he goes into the future, and then when he turns back to Prince Adam, maybe magically with Master Sebring or somebody, maybe they could have gave that Prince Adam a different look. That's why I think.
Yeah, if Prince Adam looked different on Eternia, and when he
There you
shows up,
right.
Master Sebring gives him the Bible story look to like,
That
okay,
would have did
this
it.
is your new look,
See?
you know.
And that's why I
And
said I
which
think
maybe that's something that they wanted to do,
keep
but
it
obviously
simple.
the animation is like, we don't have time for this. We've got the designs. We're just going to go because it's quicker and easier just to keep using the same designs, because then they would have had to come up with a brand new design that looks similar to He-Man
I think it could have been
for.
quick though.
For just a few seconds of the show, and
Yeah.
that's it.
Yeah, I think that's it could have been quick and that would have made it more acceptable. Just like when I was telling you with the whole thing, if we could have just seen He-Man and Skeletor look how they normally did in the cartoon and then they transformed in this different look, we can accept it. And I think that could have been the perfect thing, having not only He-Man look different, but yes, if they would have kept Prince Adam in his pink slight, or I mean his pink vest in the first episode on Eternia, then he goes
Or maroon
or
vest, if
maroon.
you want to look.
Sure. And then when he goes to the future, he becomes Merchant Adam. I think then I wouldn't have gave a crap. I'd be like, okay, there you go. That's fine. So I think they missed the bus on that one or whatever you want to say. That's the one where they could have did some little tweak, but so
It certainly does have flaws that being a He-Man fan, you can't help but, you know, it's there. But, you know, there was, you know, flaws in the Filmation cartoon, you know, here and there, and
flaws in
you
everything.
just like with a good movie, you know, you realize, oh, there's a goof there, but if it's a really good movie, you just like, oh, well, you know, oh, someone tripped and fell in the background of this movie. I still love the movie. It doesn't ruin the movie for me. It's just a simple goof, and that's it.
Right.
Same thing with this stuff. I mean,
So
yeah,
all
it's
in.
a plot hole,
Yeah.
and it's just one of this, but, you know, it's a mystery that maybe on a future episode we could have solved.
Yeah, just like how we found out some things with Larry Houston in the previous episode. So yeah, maybe we could find out something if we ever get a Lesker on here and maybe he'd want to talk
Yeah.
about it and we'll pick his brain. But so all in all, I mean, cartoon, like I said, it is pretty good. I think everybody should, you know, give it a chance if you haven't already. I don't know if you can you see those episodes on YouTube or would they probably have to buy DVDs?
If you just go to YouTube and just start, you know, type in New Adventures of He-Man cartoon. I mentioned this guy before on a previous episode. I think he goes by the name of THOT, like thought,
Okay.
prawn. Pron, and he's loaded, I think, the majority of the New Adventures cartoons along with MYP. So even if you don't have the sets, or you don't feel like unfolding the box, you know, the sets of the New Adventures cartoons, you can YouTube it right now and watch the very first episode right now. Just look up New Adventures of He-Man on YouTube, and it should come up, and you'll probably see a picture of Skeletor kind of like making this kind of like cocking his eyebrow. And that's from the first episode. And that'll probably be the one that you see if you look it
All
up.
right, so you like we said, just another thing that when you give it a chance, you see it's not as bad as you thought it was, or if you've never seen it before, you know, and you just didn't want to try it, it's good. just like the 87 movie that Tyler loves, and that, you know, right now I'm looking in back at him and I see all the worship of that movie.
Yeah, I got the back while I made sure that people who decide to watch this will be seeing the live action movie stuff no matter what.
Exactly. So it's something else that's good.
As much as people are, I think the people who love the movie are outweighing the people who were just like, oh, there's no Orko and Battle Cat, and Dolph was stupid in it, and they didn't this, and blah, blah, blah. I think you're being outnumbered, people.
Yeah, I don't think you guys could realize Tyler could probably go on for, like, you know, 3 years straight in a podcast just talking about that movie, but that will be another episode. So we've wrapped
we'll
up
a
new
a movie redux.
Yeah, I guess. So we wrapped up the new adventures, and character profile, somebody that we'll discuss in his different little versions. Fun character. No, you might be going for him. It is Webstore. Now,
or the master of escape here, people, is our discussion of the week.
I'll babble about my thoughts of the toy when I first seen it. I know yours are completely different, but, you know, I remember getting that figure. I mean, I absolutely loving his look and just the bulky, you know, like his armor and the backpack and everything. But kids, you know, we're all about gimmicks. And, you know, you love the gimmick. And his was probably one of the funnest ones. Like, I still remember, like, taking his grappling hook, swinging it like a lasso, like in the movies, you know, you see, you know, Lone Ranger or something, then throwing it and trying to catch always on top of Castle Grayskull, right on the top. And then you pull that string on the back of his thing, and he goes up, and it looks like he's climbing. I mean, it sounds, yes, so simple, but just to see that little gimmick in action, just, I mean, I fell in love with that sucker. I was like, this is one of the coolest figures that I had to play with, was Webstore. And that was my first initial, you know, reaction. I mean, well, that was my introduction to the figure, but your introduction, I guess, to the figure, it kind of amazes me. You still love the figure, but go ahead. Tell everybody about how you got him.
Clash of Arms, I think, was my first time seeing the character, aside from seeing him on the card art. But Clash of Arms was the first time that I actually saw him. Saw like the character doing something, and of course he became one of those characters that I used to pine over having, along with Jitsu and Clawful. He was definitely and Triclops, that I just like, I have to have this character. Oh my gosh, he's just such a cool looking character, just so cool, so cool, so cool, so cool. And I saw him in the Disappearing Dragons episode on the 5-episode VHS tape.
Oh, that was the first time you seen him in the cartoon? Okay.
First time I seen him in the cartoon was a VHS tape that had 5 episodes from season 2. And it was the 3rd episode on the tape, and it was a complete surprise, as we've said so many times, that it was for me, at least, to see Cobra Khan and Webstore being the villains of the show.
They were the tag team, weren't they? The tag team of Masters was those two, Cobra Khan and Webstore.
Always stuck with me to this day. Like I mean, on my vintage shelf, they're standing next to each other. On my classic shelf, they're standing next to each other. To me, they are buddies. They work together. There is no Cobra Khan the Snake Man, only to infiltrate and send back info to Skeletor. That's about as close as it gets in my eyes. But but Webstore, Disappearing Dragons, and then when I was in, I think, 2nd grade, I went over to a friend of mine's, Patrick Carrico's house for the first time, and went to his room, and he had all these He-Man toys.
Oh, okay.
That handed down to him from a neighbor that lives in the neighborhood. Like, it was doubles of Manny Faces, doubles of Triclops, doubles of Clawful, doubles of Webstore, doubles of the Road Ripper.
Wow.
Just all over. I mean, along with, you know, LGN wrestlers and stuff like that.
Okay.
I could not believe it. Like, that was the first time I'd seen Webstore, Clawful, and Triclops in person, and Manny Faces too.
Oh, wow.
All at the same time. I had never seen them. Never seen them in the stores, nothing. And he gave them to me for free because he had so many of them. He's like, sure, you can have one of each if you want.
No kidding. So, good Lord, you had a rich friend. That's awesome.
It was, and they didn't have any weapons, but I didn't care. So Webstore, I had no idea he came with a grappling hook and a gun.
Oh, he didn't have the grappling hook? Oh, you're kidding.
No, none of it. Like, the backpack, like, his armor was intact, but the actual backpack part was not attached to it.
Oh.
So even though in the cartoon I seen with the grappling hook and firing the darts out of his backpack, No, I was not aware of it, and until I got a little older and realized, oh, he came with the backpack and the grappling hook. But
By
I
that
still
time, you couldn't enjoy the gimmick. Is that what you're saying? By the time you finally got it with the grappling hook, you're too old. Like, oh.
well, I still today don't have one with the grappling hook. I've got one men on card over on the wall back over here. That's the closest I've got. I got it for $20 at a flea market. But the one that I have is the one that Patrick Carrico gave to me, still to this day.
Okay.
So I haven't upgraded him yet. If I ever come across him, where he's got everything and it's not asking too much, because really, I'm quite content with holding on to one that I've had since childhood. I don't have to have it upgraded, but
You gotta experience the moment. Like I said, we know
well,
you're an adult.
I definitely, don't get me wrong. I love to be able to reenact the toy commercial, you
Yeah,
know,
I'm
or the
looking
web
at your
story.
door right now. I'm looking at your door in the background, and I can just picture you flinging it up on that door and just shh, pulling them up the door right now in case you didn't want to do it to Grace, because the store right on the top of the door.
Well, I got Rachel right
Oh,
above me
did
here, like I'm looking at, you know, so
so you can do it
I
right here
can
on the
try
camera, fling it up, and we'll see it go right up the screen right in front of us.
it. Hey, see that, man? It works.
So that was your thing with the
But
toy. Now, the cartoon, you were mentioning all the episodes. And, well, first, let me say something about the figure. Even though his name is Webstore, and I know, yes, spider gimmick, I never got, as crazy as it sounds, even with his face, I could see how it's painted. He never felt much like a spider. I know it
yeah,
sounds
I never got
bizarre.
that either. I didn't get done with it because I thought, cool name, cool character. Who am I to judge?
Yeah, and that's how I guess I loved it when in Filmation. And I think it was the Cat and the Spider. I think that was the episode where he was in. And when Skeletor is calling for Webstore, Webstore, and Webstore comes down and looks at him, and he was like, you know, what does he call him?
Right here,
Bony?
Bony.
Bony. I was like, I loved that cockiness. Like, Webstore wasn't scared. He called him Bony, and then Skeletor called him Bugface, and then he called him all sorts of other names. But there was never the feeling, at least for me, that Webstore was a bumbling character. He felt serious. He was out to do his job. He loved doing that gimmick, like you said, with his grappling hook. He did it almost every episode. And I liked everything except I wasn't a fan of his voice.
Oh, I love the voice,
Did
man.
you? It was
I thought
making
John Irwin did a great job with the voice.
I thought it was goofy. Like, I felt like the voice was like a background character's voice. I was expecting something a little more sinister or something, but it was like, Skeletor, or what, it was nasally. You like that voice, really?
Oh, good
There
idea.
you go. I was like, oh, good. I was surprised. I thought you would have hated that voice.
No, I thought it was cool. I thought it was. You know, it didn't sound silly or goofy to me as a kid. You know,
Like,
I thought it looked perfect because it looks like when he talks, he has a bit of an underbite.
oh, question.
Oh, idea.
Now I know what I want to ask you. Okay, Squinch, is it one of the widgets? Did John Irwin do his voice too? Because that's the voice I felt like I was getting. I felt like he sounded like Squinch. I was like, oh.
It's not too far from the Squinch voice.
Yeah, so you see what I mean? I was like, I never took his voice serious, but the look of him and what he was doing, because he was doing some good, like I said, it was never really bumbling to me. He felt like he was always on fire doing something. And when they finally started teaming him in with Cobra Khan, I love seeing them two in the cartoon. They were always together in the cartoon.
Yeah, they teamed up in Journey to Stone City with Evil-Lyn, and then they're mentioned, or they're not really teaming up, but they're the villains that appear in the Good Shall Survive, where Buzz Off is having difficulties with the Ticons, those bug people that just have to eat everything.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and they Webstore and Cobra Khan are the evil warriors in that episode, and then they're featured in The Secret of the Sword. With Skeletor and Hordak, like they're the two guys that go to the Royal Palace.
They get taken out pretty quick by She-Ra, don't they, I think, or something?
When they get back to Snake Mountain, you know, She-Ra takes brother, but it's still Cobra Khan and Webstore together, you know. So it's and then
Were
I
they in the
think that
Christmas
because Cat,
special?
yeah, he's featured in the Christmas special. Yeah, sure is. He doesn't have any dialogue or doesn't do anything. He just sitting at the controls of the collector with, you know, the rest of the gang, and is at the bottom of the panning shot when they're all ejected out of the collector. So he's thrown in just for good measure, and it's like, hey, we got him, let's use him kind of thing. But
You know what,
I
you're the
think for the
expert.
most part.
I was gonna say you're the expert on something that I've been wanting to ask. I never brought this up because I figured people just think I sounded nuts or something. but I believe it was in.
You mean based on some of the stuff that we've heard over the years?
No. This is something that I seriously don't know if it was ever shown ever again in an episode of Filmation, and I figure you're the encyclopedia, you'd know. It was in The Cat and the Spider, and it was when Webstor flew off. He was flying in a windbreaker that had these legs that looked like spider legs.
Yeah.
Was that ever shown anywhere else? Did they ever say what it was called?
It's not name checked in the episode. The only thing I can think of is if we had a script that Larry Dettelier wrote, it may be name checked in the actual script or just described as like he escapes in a spider like vehicle.
Spider Raider? Yeah.
The Spider Raider or the Arachnor Raider.
Yeah, it was cool because it looked exactly
something
like
it, but it clearly has a motif to it. But yeah, that's the only time you ever see it, though.
Okay, yeah. Oh, okay. Then I figured you would have known if that was the only time. It was just cool because I always thought, hey, there's the Wind Raider. I was like, wait, what was that on the Wind Raider?
Yeah, it's the same color as the Wind Raider, but it's
yep.
That would have been a cool toy, I think, to have like a bug like Wind Raider for the Evil Warriors.
Yeah, and especially something for Webstor then to go flying around in, but
yeah, give kind of like Webstor his own vehicle, you know, like of all the Evil Warriors, Webstor gets his own, which is
well, in a way, something he does. Yeah, I guess, well, in a way, that was his vehicle. He flew away in it. They never said what it was called. You never seen it again, but
no,
I guess
never
he
saw
had
it.
All right. Well, you know what's weird is now moving from that cartoon, moving on to MYP, and. I can't. Okay, first the ones when you were talking about those bee people, bug people, the Tycons or whatever they were called. Do you think that could have been inspiration possibly for the one episode where Webstor eats the ambrosia, you know, from Buzz Off's people? Do you think there might have been, even though there's nothing really too similar? Do you think possibly they looked back at that episode, maybe did some new changes, and thought they could amp up something? I just thought it kind of a coincidence. Of something like that.
They probably could, but they use it in such a piss poor way of like, this is what's going to kill off Webstor as he eats bad eggs. You know, it's just like, man, I remember when they had released the news that someone will die in season two. Mm. I remember thinking it was going to be Merman because he got turned to stone and is crushed,
mm-hmm.
you know, falls apart. But no, he comes back to life and it's Webstor after he eats some bad eggs, you know. And it's just like I was, you know, I didn't like the whole thing of him turning into a giant spider as if, like, come on, this isn't Gremlins 2, man.
He did have that look. He was spooky, and he did have that look. But even before that, when you seen Webstor, that was the first time I felt like, now this guy does look like a spider. I feel like this is a spider.
Well, yeah, definitely the spider motif, you know, definitely is built up when you see him in the Snake Pit episode, which I remember when I saw that. It's never explained, like, because when you see it, you see someone in the foreground kind of turn and look at Cobra Khan, and then you see the multiple eyes blinking. And I remember me and my brother were like, that's Webstor. But then that's it. You don't see what he looks like completely. He's not name-checked. He's not
what a cool
even
tease.
Acknowledged.
Was Cobra Khan in that episode when he was shown with that look?
Yeah, that's the first time we see it. So it's just like, they still linked them together by, like, the first time you see the two of them, they're in the same episode together in the same scene together.
I like that. I like that.
The only thing I can think of is to story-wise as to why Webstor is shown, other than the fact that this is someone that's going to be coming up in Council of Evil.
Yeah.
Is, like, maybe he's somebody that's hanging around in Snake Mountain that keeps an eye on all the other villains and gets word back to Skeletor, which is probably why Skeletor knew what was going on down in the Void. Probably because Webstor told him.
Yeah, because they never really explained. They never went in depth about that. Like, you know, if this is his first time, and then when he pops up, like you said, in Council of Evil, and he's working for Skeletor, you never really got, okay, how did these two get linked in together? They never really did explain that, did they? Their connection?
No, it kind of makes you think, like, he's definitely a much bigger threat because, you know, he's taking the place of the Evil Warriors and he's with the rest of the one-shot villains, but he's seen hanging out inside Snake Mountain. So it's almost like either they didn't explain it and just threw it in there. It's just like a fun little jab to the fans of, hey, guess who that is kind of thing. I think from a story point, I think maybe, you know, he's someone that Skeletor probably kept around to keep spying on you know, if Beastman and Evil-Lyn are down, you know, in the lower levels plotting something, Webster's always hiding around in the lower depths of Snake Mountain and, you know, could get word back to Skelter, hey, just let you know that if Evil-Lyn decides to leave abruptly this evening, it's for a reason that does not benefit you or something like that.
Yeah. I wish there could have been more of them because, I mean, I did enjoy his look. It was the first time, you know.
Oh, yeah. His voice was done great. His overall new design, you know, from the cartoon and the Four Horsemen design for the Staction was definitely a great.
The extra appendages that he had, the extra appendages.
Yeah, which looked great. And especially that they really play up the spider motif that, you know, he's crawling around, dangling from spider webs.
Creepy.
That he, you know, creates and stuff like that. And there was nothing wrong with that character. Just the fact that he did not get used enough and was killed off in a bad episode.
And what was he?
Like Web of Evil.
He got eaten or something by the Snake Men. Were they supposed to have eaten him? The Snake Men ate him after they got
Ambrosia? No, the Snake Men were eating the Ambrosia eggs. And that's how they got stronger. So they, like, next episodes, like I think it's called Rattle of the Snake, where they're a lot stronger than trying to release Serpos. And so that's why they're smacking around the heroic warriors, because they've got Ambrosia in them. So they're smacking Fisto around and knocking everybody around left and right. Cobra Khan even overpowers Rattler because he has Ambrosia in him. So
I try to look at it like hopefully that maybe, you know, if the cartoon would have, you know, continued, that maybe they didn't kill Webster, maybe they just ate off parts of him or something, and maybe he would return to heal up or something, come back gross and stronger than ever. You know, always wishful thinking again for me, because I don't like the thought of Webster being just devoured or eaten.
Well, I don't either, and it was such a lame way of killing him off, you know, and they don't really say he's dead, but when they said they're going to kill off somebody in the show, I'm like, okay, yeah, unfortunately it's Webster, and it's such a lame way to kill off such a great looking character and a beloved character too. So it's just like, I guess Dean Stefan is probably guilty of that one, because I guess he had to okay that.
Yeah. Well, he goes on to, I'd say out of all the web stores, even though it was short lived, I did like the MYP Skeletor out of all of them the most, just because it was the first time I felt like that guy was really creepy looking, sounding, everything. I felt like I was getting the final spot, you know, I mean, a spider, even though, yes, I love that toy and the gimmick. I really love playing, you know, with that toy. But out of all the versions and filmation and, you know, his occasional appearance in other comic forms, I did enjoy MYP Web Store probably the most. I wish there was just more, but that's, I guess, my pick is favorite.
Yeah, to me, I think the quality, even though he's not featured a whole lot, the quality was up there with Filmation. But the magic of watching Disappearing Dragons to me is too much. It's just ranked too high. Even though I'm so excited to see him pop up in Snake Pit and then to make him part of the Council of Evil, was just a great push for the character. But probably have to go with Filmation simply because that's what I keep going back to watch the most of. Even though Council of Evil 1 and 2 in The Last Standard is a great trilogy that he's used very well in it. I got to go with John Irwin's interpretation of Webster and specifically Disappearing Dragons.
Okay, well, there's your pick. I just wish he would have been mutant Filmation. Well, there you go. All right. Well, that's our character profile then. So, I guess we pretty much covered everything that we were going to. So, Tyler, I think it's time we're probably going to wrap this up. And with that being said, go ahead and give your recommendations and shout-outs, what you got to do.
I guess my recommendations, of course, is watching The New Adventures of He-Man, Episode 1. And probably Council of Evil, Part 2, because Webster's used a little bit more in that one. Disappearing Dragons, because any chance I get to push that episode, I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Just because I just love it so much. And I wanted to plug Oliver Harper's film retrospective documentaries that he does, because he's a fan of the 87 movie and he's getting ready to redo his review of it with a lot more in depth discussion and a better overall new design for the review that he did for his previous one. It's on his channel on YouTube, Oliver Harper, you know, retrospectives, reviews, what he would look up. And he did a very positive review for the live action movie because he got why things were changed, the budget constraints, the problems that Cannon put on Gary Goddard and the production and stuff like that. He gets it. Thinks Frank Langella did a fantastic job with Skeletor. He understands the problems of the movie and that it still came out looking top notch. And he's getting ready to do a brand new one.
Oh, good.
It's going to be out, I think, later this week on Patreon and eventually on YouTube, probably towards the very end of this week, if not next week. But I'm looking forward to it. And I just think he does a great job with retrospectives. And since he's such a fan of the 87 movie, I just took it upon myself to spread the word on that because it should be really, really good.
Oh, sounds great. I mean, I definitely want to see it too. So, all right. Well, thanks for sharing that with us because I had no clue about anything like that happening.
Yeah, he's a good guy too. Him and his friends do commentaries for films and things like that. And he's done over 100 retrospectives on movies that all of us that are, if we're fans of He-Man, we grew up on films like Ghostbusters and, you know, Big Trouble in Little China, John Carpenter movies, you know, a lot of Superman 4, all the Superman films, things like that. The Fly, he's covered a bunch of classic 80s and 90s films, you know, action, horror.
I heard everything you said there, but when you said Superman 4, for some reason that just went...
Specifically Superman 4, because he is a fan of Superman 4. Just like I... Wasn't I under the impression that you were a fan of Superman 4?
You were under the impression of who, what? Did you see this first time Jason is facepalmed? Wait, me? Like Superman 4? Oh, dear God. Oh, my God. What was it? What's the woman's name in real life? What's her name?
Which one, Margot Kidder or Mario Hemingway?
Mario Hemingway, the one that now can breathe in outer space. Oh, dear God. Oh, we got it.
Oh, so hot movie, though. Yes, the movie is a train wreck of crazy goose, and guess what? Cannon, Golden Globes are responsible for all the mishaps in that movie, too. So,
that was a hot mess.
But that was my first Superman movie, was Superman 4. And I absolutely loved watching Superman duke it out with Nuclear Man and thought Mario Hemingway was so hot as a kid.
Poor kid. Oh, God, what an impression. Superman. Dear.
Hey, but I thought because Christopher Reeve is still my Superman to this day. Oh, nobody's going to be able to top him.
Oh, wait, no, he is. I mean, iconic, but... Oh, man. Well, I guess, hey, guys, if you want a hot mess to watch, you just want to kill an hour and, 20 minutes, an hour and 30 minutes, you can watch that Superman 4 Quest for Crap, Peace, or whatever it was. But, yeah, pretty good show.
Good one, Friday the 13th, Part 5.
Ooh, now that's pretty low right there. I know that it's Roy doing the killing, but hey, it's still okay. I guess, they kind of grow on you. So,
I'm not going to say that Superman 4 is a masterpiece because it's not. Excuse me. It's just a fun...
Superman 4 sucks.
I got the movie poster for Superman 4 somewhere around here.
Oh, did you actually waste money on that, or did you find it in the?
No, garbage? I got it for. I bought all the Superman films on a DVD. It was like a free offer. If you send this in with like $10 shipping, you got all the movie posters for all the Superman films for free.
Oh, I thought they were just giving away the movie and the poster together, just because you know nobody had rent it. They're like, here, take Superman 4, take a poster. When
you would be surprised that there's an appreciation for that particular film there, JoJo.
No, I'm sure there's about 10 people, but I'm okay. Well, all right, so there.
And Joe and his beloved Jason lives in Jason 5. And like, yeah, you don't even have a leg to stand on here, man. At least Superman 4 has got a poster magazine.
It does?
Yes, that was released in 1987, just like the 87 The He-Man movie. There's a poster magazine for both those films.
I feel so bad you remember that. So, all right. Well, there's Tyler's recommendations.
Well, look, that's what I got over here on the wall. That Dolph Lundgren poster behind me, just him, that came from the poster magazine.
Well, that at least is good. Thank God there's no Superman 4 up there because I'd have to tell you to make sure.
If I had the Superman 4 poster magazine, I would have Nuclear Man probably displayed somewhere in my apartment.
Yeah, I'd have it displayed somewhere. But all right, well, so those are your recommendations.
Like, my gosh, is like, we got to find a replacement for this guy quick.
No, that's cool, man. If you like it, I'm just messing. But
are you kidding? I'm well aware. That's one of those movies I'm like, if people want to slant Superman 4, I'm not going to stop them because it's completely messed up in so many ways, not because of, you know, what they intended to do. But when people want to trash the 87 movie, then I got a problem.
There, you can defend that. Can't defend Superman 4 though. All right, but for me, there you go. Well, as for places to go, you can always go to fansofpower.com, popculturenetwork.com, and on Facebook, you can always go to Masters of the Universe He-Man and She-Ra Ultimate fan page, and also go to HeManWorld.com because it's all great places to go and all great people. So I guess, Tyler, with that being said, until next time, have a powerful day.
Destroy Superman now.